And welcome back. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. They're called non-fungible tokens, and they've stormed the art world. The new form of digital art is giving artists a chance to earn extra money and collectors an opportunity to have unique ownership. The idea of NFTs now extends to movies. Trevor Hawkins of the Kansas City area will release his new film, Lotawana, as an NFT only. This will be the first time in history that a movie will be sold and premiered as an NFT. This follows the ongoing trend of artists, athletes, and organizations cashing in on the movement. Trevor Hawkins is a writer and director, and Lotawana is his first full-length feature film. He's won an Emmy and has been honored as an exceptional filmmaker by National Geographic. Trevor, it's great to have you. Welcome.
Oh, well, good morning. Good to be here.
Marav Ozer is a data scientist and a crypto and blockchain expert out at Rutgers University in New Jersey. Marav, it's nice to have you too. Good morning.
Yes, I just want to clarify, I'm a fintech faculty member, a professor at Rutgers Business School.
Okay. Marav,
and my blockchain is my expertise, sorry.
That sounds great. You're going to have to help us out here. This is a new world order for a lot of people. What is an NFT or a non-fungible token?
Well, I guess first we have to understand that fungible versus non-fungible is something that has been since the beginning of time. So the idea of fungible versus non-fungible has been in the physical world. So let's talk about the physical world. So the physical world, what is fungible, something that is intangible and also sometimes indistinguishable. So you can think about a $1 bill, right? With this $1 bill, you can buy coffee at Starbucks and it doesn't matter which bill you use, right? That's fungible. But it's not indistinguishable because it has a serial number, right? This is how the Fed, you know, track them down.
Right.
Non-fungible in the physical world, you can think about a movie, like what your guest here is doing, for example. This is something unique, right? You know, it's not or a painting, right? So that's something unique in the physical world. But if you take that to the tokenization world, right, the crypto world, then the analogous to a $1 bill is a Bitcoin, because, you know, it doesn't matter which Bitcoin you use in order to pay. It's not indistinguishable because it has also some kind of a serial number, not exactly a serial number, but a hash, but some idea. And if you're thinking about the tokenization on fungible, then basically everything that is digital, like a movie, like a music, I mean, everything now is digital, whether it's a video, a movie, or everything written, media, can be tokenized. And when it is tokenized, that it's unique, right? Whether this uniqueness, you know, makes it non-fungible.
Huh. So how do you determine its value, though, Marav?
How do I determine? Well, I mean, a value, like anything, is determined on the quality and the demand, the supply and demand, right? You know, sometimes, you know, there's a hype, you know, like something is sold for millions of dollars, not because it's best quality, just sometimes it's just hype, right? And sometimes it is quality, or sometimes it's also a matter of what people think about this investment, or sometimes people think about how rare it is. I mean, the more rare something is, the value is getting higher and higher. And this is always true. And this is what people, you know, collect things, you know, like if this movie, for example, will become a hit one day, and it becomes like it will go down in history as one of the first NFTs movies, then that becomes a collectible, like an investment that people would like to invest in that. And the more people are going to bid for that, the higher the price is going to go.
Well, it is a new world order there. I'm going to bring in Nathan Kincaid. He's producer of Trevor's movie, Lotawana. Nathan, explain to me why you decided to go the non-fungible token route when it comes to the release of this film.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah, thanks.
Sorry, I just had to throw that out there. Well, we went this route because this was an opportunity that presented itself. And anyone that's involved in independent filmmaking knows that there's an oversaturation of the market. So getting a film out there these days is harder than getting a film made. So when it's Trevor's brother-in-law, actually, Tucker was speaking with Trevor's wife, Corey, about this NFT situation because she was about to release an album, a musical album. And so she was looking at that. And then the three of them basically started saying, well, why don't we look at doing this with Lotawana? And so they spent a weekend back in March basically researching what the heck an NFT was, doing what we're doing now 2 months ago. And they then start explaining it to me. And I still didn't fully understand it, you know. In the
Well, you're making me feel better now, Nathan, because a lot of people out there are struggling with these ideas.
100%. And we're just, you know, we're understanding it a little bit more, frankly, just because we've now had more time to really think about it. But in that initial phone call, I just understood that time was of the essence because of the minting process and applying that date to be first. With this, you know, whatever your commodity is, film in our instance. And so then that, getting that done, then applied the historical context. So it's, now that we've had a little more time to think through it, there's like a long-term investment component here, like your other caller was saying about the historical value. And then there's the short-term value, which is really interesting because there's a bit of a barrier of entry to get the NFT because you have to purchase it with a cryptocurrency called Ethereum, which you will continue to hear about in the news. And basically, once you get the Ethereum, you can acquire the NFT. And anyone that would have purchased one of our NFTs 2 months ago would already see a 130% increase in value because of what the because of the cryptocurrency that they use to purchase it. So there's like that short-term component of actual money value, but then, you know, like you saw with Bitcoin, how it took forever to kind of really take off. We kind of think this is a thing you get and you hold on to, and once NFTs become more legitimized and understood and established and traded, then people will go back and say, wow, what was the first movie that ever did that? And we have no idea when that moment in time will be.
Well, Trevor Hawkins, you're the writer and director here of Lotawana. So you guys have already done this. Has it been a successful series of transactions for you guys, or how would you characterize it?
Yeah, I would say that it's been, by our standards, very successful because any indie film that's been produced in the last few years would love to get the press that we've gotten for doing this. And yeah, I mean, we're talking to you right now, which is cool.
There you go.
And we've also made about a fifth of our production budget back already. And we've just released the NFTs about a month ago or so. So yeah, we're excited about our progress so far.
So, Trevor, explain to me, an investor in your film through a non-fungible token, what do I get if I invest in your film?
So, if you were to purchase one of our copyright NFTs, then you would own a part of the theatrical cut of the film just alongside us. And the way that we like to think about the NFTs is, It's all kind of confusing to everybody and ourselves included, like everyone's been saying, but the best way that we found to think about it is traditionally, if an artist were to paint a painting, then you would hold that painting and that painting would have value that you could then show a gallery, and anyone can look at that physical painting and be like, all right, for this original Picasso, I'll pay this much money. But then enter the computer age, the digital age, where you make a piece of digital art, like a cat meme or a digital painting, and it can be reproduced an infinite number of times across the internet. So essentially your digital art is worthless because anyone can own a copy of it. But enter the world of NFTs that exist on the blockchain. And the blockchain, as I understand it, is this verifiable code that exists around the planet. And there's only one, and it's cross-referencing, it self-checks itself. So if anybody tries to tamper with this blockchain code, everyone will know. And so this is for the first time in history, there's this one single unique set of blockchain code. And with NFTs, what that allows artists to do is upload digital art onto the blockchain and be the first person to quote unquote mint your art as an NFT. And now for the first time in history, all types of digital art, whether it be a movie in our case, or music, or a cat meme, or a digital painting, now has an original. So just like art collectors caring about hanging like an original painting in their house versus a replica, now people across the world can own digital art the exact same way. They can own the original piece of digital art. And that's why NFTs are such a hype right now. And that's why they've got value.
Nathan, does this mean that if I invest in Lotawana and I'm a theater owner and I purchase the copyright, I guess, in a sense, can I then show the film in my theater any number of times that I want?
Well, that's an interesting concept. I don't think that's exactly how it would work. Although, you know, we have had people ask us what our concerns with piracy are. And, you know, when we do the world premiere, that's gonna open it up to those kind of situations possibly. But that's not really what the share is for. The share is to be involved in the process with us as filmmakers in deciding what we want the release to look like. So right now, if you buy one of our copyright NFTs, you're asked to email us and basically opt in to this kind of process. And so what we would like to do is, when we do get an offer for some kind of distribution or exhibition, then basically it's like anyone that bought that copyright share will have a vote in a similar way. We call it a virtual boardroom is what we're calling right. It right now, and basically have some kind of transparent, password protected voting process. But
yeah,
again, I mean, there's no rules to this stuff. We're this is what we're coming up with in real time. But right now, that's the way we'd like to play it.
Mauravo Zera, again, a professor from Rutgers University. Yeah. I'm struggling with understanding what the value is to me if I invest in this film. And okay. I can tell my guests are still sort of thinking that through. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, I think that first I would like to comment on what two of your guests have mentioned in terms of the way that they can streamline their income from their invention. So for one, you know, to piggyback on the last comment of your guest, when you asked him about whether someone can view that. So basically there is a way, I mean, it's all, you know, in the code, as we just mentioned, mm-hmm. and when it's called a smart contract. You can basically code anything you want. And basically you can collect royalties from your invention. And that's probably what you can do if someone, you know, everyone who tried to watch it, execute, you know, that code that will collect that royalties. There is already, I think a platform called Rarible that does that. And that's one way to do it. So there's a way to collect, you know, this stream of income coming in. But the authenticity, you know, it's still gonna stay, you know, the owner, you know, of this movie, it will still stay in the domain of the creator, but they will collect the royalties anytime that they get the signal, you know, that someone is watching it, and they will get the code can do that. That's one way to think about it. Going back to the first comments when the person mentioned about that you have to buy it with Ethereum, there's already a way, I mean, developers, you know, and companies and project, you know, I think about how to make it easier and to people to bring it to the masses, you know, that it's not, oh God, I have to buy Ethereum now, I don't know crypto, what am I going to do? So we're trying not to bring it to the mainstream, and bring to the mainstream is to make it like user friendly and seamless, right? You know, like you buy a ticket for a movie, right? Like any ticket. So there is a platform right now called Circle. And what they do is basically all what you have to do is upload your fiat, and then they will do everything for you. Fiat meaning your dollar money or your, I don't know, euro, whatever, you know, currency you use. And they will convert that to something, to their digital presentation, and that will be used. So, wow. So they're trying not to make it like more and more seamless, in a sense that it be available for the masses, and that's the idea. And I think from a creator perspective, I think that the stream of income is twofold. One is that this, unlike, you know, a movie that can be scratched and destroyed or something, this thing is never going to be destroyed, never going to be altered, no one is going to hack it, no one is going to damage it, it stays within the domain of the blockchain forever and ever and ever. So its value in history is going to go higher and higher. That's the way I see it, especially the ones.
All right.
They're going to, yeah. So I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. Nathan Kincaid, you've made me curious here, because the name of your film is titled Lotawana. It makes me think of Lake Lotawana, just to the east of Kansas City here. First, I'm going to ask you about what this film was about. Let's listen to a clip from the trailer here of Lotawana.
It's a ratty ass boat. You ever fish out of it?
Where do you see us in the future?
In the future?
Oh no, I'm happy. Yay, he's taking care of me just fine. He's treating me really well, actually.
What do you use the binoculars for?
Nothing.
Oh my God.
I'm doing this alone. I'm with you. Whatever you want to do, we can make it work.
So Nathan, help me here. What's this film about?
Brainchild of writer-director Trevor Hawkins. He was born and raised in Lotawana, and he's out there right now.
Am I hearing Canadian geese there, Trevor, in the background when we're talking? So you really are on the lake, right?
Oh, I'm looking at some goslings just hatched on our dock yesterday, and I'm watching them grow up right now.
That adds an air of legitimacy here. Go ahead, Nathan. I cut you off.
Oh, okay. No problem. I was. It's basically about a young man and a young woman who are kind of, you know, tired of the rat race, and they want to try to live life a different way. And overall, the film is, we call it a thought experiment on, you know, what it would look like to basically move in on a sailboat, live on a boat. And, you know, this young couple discovers, that maybe society operates the way it does for a reason. So it's hard to tell you too much about it without giving it away. But really proud of this film.
Trevor Hawkins, did you film it here at Lake Lotawana?
Yes, sir. We filmed about half of it on the real-life Lake Lotawana that I'm looking at right now, and then the other half at Lake Jacomo, which is just a mile or so away, and then a few other lakes from around Missouri we traveled to and inserted scenes from.
Trevor, you dropped the word lake from the name of the film. Why?
It's, I don't know, aesthetics, I guess. It sounds a little bit cleaner, a little bit nicer.
I get that. I mean, you've got a lot riding here, Trevor, because you've mortgaged your home to fund this production. Some might call that a little risky.
Yeah, sure. It's definitely risky, but it's just kind of the path you have to take as a filmmaker. Right now, there's so much competition in the indie filmmaking world that how do you raise money for, you have to essentially create an army to create a movie. And how do you pay for that? And that's just the eternal struggle of every filmmaker. And so you kind of have to do drastic things to set yourself apart from the crowd.
And that includes the non-fungible tokens, which is what we're talking about here today, right?
Exactly. So what's actually kind of ironic and a little bit of what we're excited about is that we went about making the movie in a very unorthodox way, and now we're going about releasing the movie in a very unorthodox way, which sort of ties into the themes of the film itself. The theme of the movie is about trying to live a unique lifestyle, something that's a bit more authentic and real, and where does that interface between, like, where the rubber has to meet the road with, like, an actual creating money to pay for your lifestyle sort of thing. And so we're very much living what we're filming.
You know,
Steve, if I could piggyback just real quick, there's another thing there, another lesson there that I think a lot of Kansas Cityans would appreciate, is that when Trevor decided to finance the film his own way, we had no idea that there was going to be this kind of reward on the other end of this thing, because when we had to decide whether or not to put our film out as an NFT, we only had to ask ourselves. We didn't have any investors that we were beholden to. There was no permission process. We just looked at each other and said, you guys want to do this? And once we said yes, we were off.
Nathan, before I forget, where can people see the film?
Well, that's going to be the exciting process of this year. They can be the first people to see it if they get one of our world premiere ticket NFTs. We will probably, right now, we're just kind of pegging that as like a September kind of thing. And between now and then, this is the equivalent of what would have traditionally been like a film festival run, where we would have taken the movie to, well, I don't know if we would have gotten into Cannes or not, but we certainly would have tried. And, you know, you would do your world premiere at a festival circuit, and then you would drum up as much press as possible to try to get the best deal possible.
So right.
We're in that phase. We have a call about every week, and, you know, it's just the next phase of our project is figuring out which deal we want to make. And like we were saying, we would like the copyright NFT owners to be a part of that process, which
Marav, I got like 30 seconds here. What are some other common NFTs? I read about a rock band selling an NFT that guarantees front row seats for life. I can sort of get that. Just go quickly, if you would.
Kings of Leon. The NFT, the album, very much like NFTing a movie, and they kind of threw in another perk, and the perk is the ability to bid on six golden tickets for the front row concerts for life, and you can do it for a movie, for example. And this is that's the nice thing about NFTs, that you can add all kinds of perks. You know, like Robert Gonovsky, you know, he threw in a perk, you know, that you can come to his
And Marav, I've got to close here. Yeah. That's Marav Ozer from Rutgers University. Nathan Kincaid, the producer of Lotawana. Trevor Hawkins, the writer and director. Thank you all for a good conversation.
Yeehaw, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
That's it for today.
Thank you very much.
You bet. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow.